to the first edition of 2018 of the Infinite Loopcast. Hello, it's me, Fleishy, and I'm joined by Aaron and Sai.
Hello.
Hello.
Sounds as excited as I am to be here. And we're going to bring you a bit of a New Year's show, is that right?
This is a review of 2017, and I look forward to 2018.
A review, yeah.
This is all you need. Don't go listening to other podcasts. It's all happening right here. We're the people in the know.
There is no other podcast.
We are connected with everyone in the games industry ever. Miyamoto is my bro. Give me a minute while I cut out my tongue for saying the word bro.
How dare you. So, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about games that we liked, games that we disliked, and we'll have a quick peeky ahead to what's going on now, soon. TBC. Aaron.
Yes.
First game on your list, please, sir.
First
game. How many games has he got on his list?
All right.
He'll be here for a while if he's got like 10.
What we've done is we had a little chat in the WhatsApp, and we all said that we're going to come up with three games that we really, really enjoyed. Or three games that we would recommend, and we're going to come up with one game that disappointed, and then we're going to do the same thing for 2018.
Next year, come back next year.
Yeah.
No, wait, that's this year.
Yes, it is this year.
Passing judgment.
First game, which is a big surprise to absolutely everybody, is Persona
Elite Dangerous.
Persona 5.
I mean, that is a shock because it's not Elite Dangerous.
Yeah. Yes. You did. I half imagined you to invent a time machine just so you could make Elite Dangerous come out in 2017 so you could make it your game of the year.
So yeah, Persona 5. I wish I'd played more of it. To be honest, the only reason I haven't played more of it is because I don't tend to switch the PS4 on. I just go straight to the PC. Because I check my email, check some stats, that sort of stuff, and then I start gaming. And I'm already on the PC, so I just stay on the PC.
Right.
If the PS4 was in a different place and didn't require me to switch from PC to the PS4, switch the monitors over, then... yeah, I might be playing more if it was just a bit more convenient. Because most people have their PS4s in the living room. Mm-hmm. But I don't. I don't. I have it in the office. So it's just easier to play on the PC than it is on the PlayStation these days.
Well, why didn't you set up the remote play system?
I could do, but the PlayStation is set right here, so...
I mean, I'm assuming Persona 5 is entirely turn-based. I can never remember with Persona.
No,
is it one of those real-time...
Some of it's real-time, some of it's turn-based.
Oh, yeah, you have to avoid the enemies and stuff, don't you?
Yeah. So there's an element of real-time, but not huge amounts. So, yeah. But yeah, I plan to go back to it. So hopefully I'll finish it this year. But what I won't probably do this year is do a New Game Plus. Because that's where a lot of the content will be, in New Game Plus.
You think there's more content in the New Game Plus?
Well, yeah, because what you do is you carry over your stats, so your courage and things like that. Because that's what you did in Persona 4. You could, if you followed a guide, do it all in the first playthrough. But you had to do everything in the certain days and buy the certain things and get the certain look and all this lot. But if you do it in two playthroughs, you can get more out of it. So the first playthrough, you're basically just leveling your stats and doing some of the game. Obviously, you're going through a path and you're getting an ending. But you'll get more... you'll unveil some secrets by having higher stats on the second playthrough. Because you'll have more courage and you'll have... because certain activities are blocked behind stat levels. so you can't do them. And if you don't have certain courage levels early on in the game, which you can't, because it's too early on in the game, then you can't do certain things. It's only small things, but it's nice little things to encourage you.
Oh, well,
to
give us an example.
Well, Persona 4, there was, I can't remember, you could, yeah, you couldn't ask some of the girls on dates or something early on in the game. You couldn't, I can't remember, there was some activity you couldn't do, some task you couldn't do. It's only little cutscenes that you're missing, and you could just YouTube them if you wanted to. But it's just little benefits to having it there on a New Game Plus. Mm-hmm. And obviously you can get to go and have different... you choose different people to have in your crews and things like that, and you see the different stories. Because you can't level up... Well, typically you can't level up all the characters to their maximum social levels all in one playthrough.
So if you can't romance them all.
Well, it's not just romancing them all. It's the fact that you can't advance them all to, you know, your BFFs. They're not all your BFFs in one playthrough. So you've got to pick and choose which ones you have, depending on what fighting stance you want. But on the second playthrough, you can pick different people, because you're higher level, so therefore you don't need to worry too much about them helping you too much. So there's all sorts of benefits to doing a second playthrough. And some people go through two or three playthroughs, just because you can then see all the backstories of all the characters. These characters aren't as good, I don't think, as the Persona 4 characters.
Are they all very stereotyped, again?
Yes, generally they're all stereotypes. It's a JRPG, and, you know, you'll have your stereotypes. Wide boy, you'd have your funny, goofy guy, and you'll have your angsty, you'll have your whatever, cheerleader or whatever they are. And yeah, there'll all be various Japanese stereotypes. Apparently some of the way they handle gay characters, well, in Persona 4 that was quite weird, the way they handled the pseudo gay character in the in that thing.
Why?
Oh yeah, that was very strange. I remember now.
Because he's effectively is quite effeminate and all this lot, and he falls for this guy, but then they just pull a big twist and say, actually, oh well, I don't know whether you want the spoiler on this. It is for quite an old game. It's a PS4.
I don't think it's going to be a spoiler for me.
I might stick my fingers in my ears, but I think I'm already past that point. So,
well, do you know the boy detective? Do you know his secret?
Wait, he has a secret?
He has a secret.
Maybe, I can't remember. It's been a while since I picked it up.
Okay. Well, do you want me to spoil it?
I mean, I don't want you to spoil it. It's not on a... I'll put my fingers in my ears and go la 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 for a minute. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, he turns out to be a girl in the end. So he turns out that the gay character ends up not being gay because he's actually fancying this guy that turns out to be a girl anyway. So it's a bit weird. They sort of brush it away like that.
Okay, I'm back. No more spoilers.
Okay. But yes,
I mean, the whole chicken thing was unexpected.
Yeah. Yeah. But I remember in it, there is the matchery guy, isn't he? Isn't he gay as well?
Kenji.
That's it, yeah.
As I was saying, in theory he is, but they work around that. But, that's a spoiler, so I won't go into that now.
I might have already got past it, but it's not worth taking.
Probably
the
not
risk.
If you don't know about it. But yeah, so they cop out on that quite easily, and I don't know. Obviously, I'm not very far in. I've only got a few characters in my squad, so we'll see how it goes on the Persona 5 playthrough.
Do you know? I've just guessed what the spoiler is anyway. Okay. I think it was sort of hinted at anyway.
It is hinted at. They're not subtle. A lot of the time. But the one big problem with Persona 4 was to try and get the true ending.
And you have to do the New Game Plus for that?
No, but you had to pick exactly the right options in a chat. Otherwise, you don't get it.
Oh, and the chat is about halfway through the game, isn't it? Was it near the end?
No, it is towards the end, I believe. But yeah,
I mean, towards the end could still be a couple of hours away.
Oh, yeah. It's not right at the very end, but yeah, it is quite far on. And yeah, if you don't pick the right options, it ends, and it's a good ending, but it's not the true ending. It's weird.
Well, thanks to the invention of YouTube, I can go find the true ending when I finish.
Yes, yeah.
And inevitably don't get the true ending.
Yes, I don't believe it is easy to get the true ending.
That's quite a deep philosophical point, isn't it? Surely any ending is the true ending, because the game still ends.
Yes.
Well, yes, if you die, then that's a true ending, I guess. But it's referred to as the true ending.
Heavy Rain, I think I achieved the optimal ending.
Okay.
Oh, I think Heavy Rain had a couple, didn't it? I think I achieved the near optimal ending, maybe. I mean, Heavy Rain had lots of endings.
I don't know.
Did you never play Heavy Rain?
I play the beginning bit, but I never got heavily into it.
It's not that long, I don't think.
No, it's not. It was just a case that it was a single player game, and it was on the PS4, and remote play wasn't working properly at the time.
You never played it when it was PS3?
No.
Detroit Become Human is out this year as well.
Yeah, that is going to be a thing, isn't it?
I'd be interested. I've tried to avoid coverage of it because I just want to play it. Probably what I'll do is I'll find out if people say it's any good, and if they do, I'll just play it. Because that kind of thing, they're so heavily story-based.
Basis is that it relies on people's opinion of David Cage more than the actual game.
Yeah, but I enjoyed Heavy Rain, and I enjoyed Beyond Two Souls enough that as long as it's not a complete clusterfuck,
you'll enjoy it.
I will be satisfied with it.
Did you ever try Fahrenheit?
No, I never. I think I own it, but I've never tried it.
Talking of David Cage games. Sorry, we'll go on then. Aaron's Persona. What's yours? Or first one of yours?
My first game on the list. I'm going to.
No particular order.
Except mine is a cheat.
Okay.
Hitman.
Well, we decided this wasn't a cheat. We decided that this was fair because, as you said, most of the content has come out this year.
Well, a lot of content has come out this year. So all the episodes were released by the end of the year, but they released the disc version at the start of this year. They didn't release it on disc until January.
Right.
So I think until there's a physical disc, then, you know, we count it as early access. That's the way it works, right?
Sure, why not?
Oh,
if it makes you sleep at night, then that's the way it works.
So, Elite Dangerous is you can buy Elite Dangerous on disc, can't you?
Yes, you can.
I started playing this on PC actually originally, and then I made the switch over to PS4 just because like the trophies and the controller and stuff, and I picked it up fairly cheap. And it's great, like the customization, the levels. There's not very many levels actually compared with previous Hitman games. There's only six and a half levels. But they do a really good job of making them big, making them rich, you know, making them have lots of different ways for things to happen. There is some set piece deaths, let's say, assassinations. But you don't have, they're optional. You can just go about, and you can even create, in a way, your own set piece deaths. And the best thing to do, if you like, the first couple of times you play through a level, is just mess about and see how you can kill him, try and do it undetected, you know, get a different costume, go about it a different way, listen to different conversations, pick up all the intel that you can.
Yeah.
And then when you've done it a couple of times, I tend to go and then look at what the challenges are. Because every level has like maybe 20 challenges, a couple of feats, So challenges are the different ways you can kill him or her or whoever the assassination target is. Feats are like, you know, wear this disguise, go to this place, do this thing. Some of them are a bit unusual. Like on one of the levels there is there's a load of inflatable crocodiles just littered around the place. And if you blow all them up, then you get a you get one of the feats. So you got your main targets, and you go and look at the challenges, and then there's maybe 20 different set piece ways of trying to kill someone. So you can always kill someone the normal way, you know, shoot them in the head with a pistol, run up and machine gun them, although that's obviously not the best way to be a hitman.
Well, then I guess the job done.
Get the fiber wire out and strangle them if you can lure them on their own, and get the silent assassin rating. So, or you have like crazy set pieces. You know, there's one where you actually got to scare the guy, so he tries to escape in his airplane, and then when he's escaping in his airplane, shoot down his airplane with a cannon, because it's his old ceremonial cannon somewhere else on the level. You got to run halfway across the level, and then also line up the cannon so that it is able to shoot an airplane that is obviously moving at airplane speed.
But it's the fact they put that sort of stuff in the game that you can even do it.
Yeah, and it's absolutely crazy. You know, normally you would just go in, shoot him in the head, put him in a box, and run away again. But right. you can make him do all these other crazy things, or drop things on their head, or make him scared of things. There's one where you can pretend to be his dead mum or something as a ghost.
Yeah,
it's on that same level, and it will scare him, and he'll pass out, and then he's easy to kill. So there's lots of, you know, weird little intricacies. There's lots of detail in the levels. And actually, at the same level, so this is Sapienza, which is like an Italian town. It's a mansion there. And the main two targets are in the mansion. Underneath the mansion, there's a laboratory where they're developing a virus. Mm-hmm. So you got to kill the main two targets, which are the husband and wife, I think they are. And then in the underground laboratory, you've got to destroy the virus. So you've got to get yourself into the quarantine chamber, you know, put on a radiation suit or a hazmat suit, sorry. Get in and destroy the virus and stuff, all without being seen, of course, with lots of security around and other people, you know, golf instructors, gardeners, laboratory scientists, all kinds of unusual people, chefs, cleaners, delivery men. There's lots of people in this mansion. This mansion's massive. And if you went into the level, you'd go in, you'd find some way into the mansion. Normally you can sneak in somehow. But the thing is, there's a whole town next to it. And you don't really touch the town when you're doing that main mission. So when you've completed that main mission, and you've got all those different ways you can kill them and stuff, you can do like escalation contracts or featured contracts, or, you know, there's all these different kinds of contracts that will give you a different target somewhere in the level and some different way of killing them. There's like a church with like the warden in it, and there's also these ones called elusive contracts, and they come up for a week, and if you miss them, you've missed them. They're gone forever.
But so I thought they brought them back.
So no, well, okay, so they're repeating them, but they're repeating them once, so they'll be gone forever again. You know, there'll be a year, even if they cycle them, it'll be a year before they come back around.
Right.
Well, also, you can only ever do them once anyway.
Yes, you can only try them once. You can only try them. You can try them a couple of times. The point at which you engage with the target, you can't retry it.
Yeah, if you get spotted as well?
I think if you get spotted, you're able to retry. Depends who you're spotted by. I think it depends. If you're spotted by someone and they alert the target, then I think you can't. But if you're spotted by someone random, I think you're okay. Also, it depends what counts as spotted, you know. It's not as... this game's quite smart, because it doesn't always... It isn't like, oh, you've been spotted, like, open fire on you. It'll depend on where you are, what you're dressed as, what you're doing. So, you know, if you're dressed as a... The Paris mission goes on in a big mansion, in another big mansion, like, where there's a fashion show going on, and... upstairs there's an auction going on, and you can go in, and let's say you dress up as a waiter.
Yeah.
Now if as a waiter you'll accidentally walk into the part where they're doing the makeup for the models, and you're not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
The security guard, he won't just shoot you, or you won't fail the level. He'll say, stop, you know, turn around, you know, you're trespassing, come with me. And he'll lead you out, and then he'll let you go. He won't care.
Right.
If you choose to ignore him, of course, then he's going to open fire.
It's a non-fatal...
But if you're, like, much deep... If you're, like, in your hitman suit and someone spots you in the security room, they might be a bit more hostile towards you because, obviously, then you're... you know, what are you doing there when you're miles away from anywhere that you could have been accidentally walked into? So it's quite good with that kind of thing. You can tend to find costumes that you can sneak around with and stuff. So, yeah, the elusive targets only appear once. And so the other week there was one on the Italy one with this big mansion, this town next to it, where it was the cleric in the church. Yeah, I've got all the ones since they've restarted doing it. I think I was a bit sloppy with this one in the end. I meant to drop a bell on his head, a big bell, you know, like a big church bell. But he moved just before it went to him, and I missed. So I had to go down and shoot him in the head. So the levels are completely made over sometimes. So I went back and found another mission where the town is being used to film a movie, like an action movie. Iron Man. So you don't go anywhere near the mansion. You go into the town. But they've also remade, like, they've completely decorated the whole town. So, you know, there's big mechanical monsters that are actually movie props all around the town. And, you know, you can use them, you can sabotage them so that when he goes to... Because the target is the actor. So when the actor goes to do his stunt, let's say he comes up against some big robot Godzilla, the robot Godzilla just eats him when really it's supposed to just look like it's eating him.
Okay, yeah.
But that none of that stuff is there when you play the normal version of the mission. So it's quite clever because it recreates the whole level. You definitely don't feel like you're playing the same level over again. And there's, of course, all new characters in that world. There's all new, you know, things that are going on between people. I don't even know if you can go in the mansion during that one. I don't know if you'd want to. Maybe there's stuff going on in the mansion. I might have to go back and have a look. Yes, it's a very, very accomplished Hitman game, and I'm certainly looking forward to the season two. I decided to upgrade my copy to the Game of the Year copy the other day so I can play through the little zombie mode that they've got at the moment that they did in the Game of the Year edition. But I don't know if people have been saying there's not that much content, that it's worth £15, but it is on sale at the minute. So it adds a couple of extra things for me to do. But there's so much to do in the game. You think with only six levels, you would be like done, but with all the challenges and all the feats, and every time there's a new escalation or there's a new the escalation contracts, or you know, the different target, the alternative targets that you can go for, each one of those has its own set of challenges and feats as well. So there's a set of characters called the Sarajevo Six, and there's one of them in each level, and you have about five different ways to assassinate these guys also, as well. So, Hitman, the season two of it is going to be on my looking forward to for 2018. If it comes this year. Hopefully it does.
It's episodic, so they should be able to get some of it out.
Well, it was supposed to come out last year, but obviously things went unusual, let's say. I don't think they necessarily went south for Square Enix. For Square Enix and IO Interactive, but... they did part ways.
Yeah, it all sounded quite amicable, really.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how they develop with the game from then on. Hopefully it'll be... hopefully it should mean avoiding a number of egregious business practices.
Such as?
Things like loot boxes, microtransactions.
EA.
It's not just EA. But a lot of them do. Even Hitman, you know, there was a lot of little bits in the game. Yeah, I think in the last one there was lots of little DLC packs. It's all cosmetic stuff, which wasn't the worst, but, you know, it's just a bit... Is it really necessary, all these cosmetics and stuff?
Necessary, no. Just add something? No, probably not. just a bit of fun. It's just another way for them to get paid, I guess.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing. They're starting to raise the prices now, aren't they? People are thinking of... There's talk about them starting... starting to raise prices. The publishers are thinking of upping the prices of full price games.
Okay.
Well, people just wait. People wait now.
Yeah. Well, some people don't want to, do they? They want it day one,
yeah,
no matter what. But I guess if there's people like that, then that's great, because that means some of us...
If they have the disposable income, sure.
Yeah, I get it. Like, these games aren't cheap to produce, and they need to make their money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but often they do make their money.
Yeah, I've heard of different
stuff. You know, Star Wars Battlefront, they were always going to make their money back on that, weren't they?
Yes, correct. Battlefront's probably a slightly different case to most.
Maybe something where it's a bit more risky, like Lawbreakers. It's hard to tell, but
you know, the trouble with something like Battlefront is it was guaranteed because it's a large franchise.
Yeah, but how many things are released that aren't large franchises now?
No, but that's the point. People would take more risks.
And if they increase the price of games, are they just going to price people out of, you know, dropping down money on something that they're not so sure about? I think they would push the consumer away rather than encourage rather than make more money off the consumer.
Any difference? Don't forget, we came in from an era of N64 games and things where there was, you know, £70 a game, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but the PlayStation 1 were never that much.
Weren't they?
No, PlayStation 1, you could get down to £10 at one point.
During the PlayStation era?
Yeah, yeah. They did Platinum games at £20. When they'd been out for a year, and then they went. Yeah. Then they did a level beyond that, and I can't remember what it was called. Value or something it was called. Classics, I don't know.
I don't know.
And they did Platinum on PlayStation 2. In fact, they even did Platinum on PlayStation 3. They haven't done Platinum on PlayStation 4, I don't think.
No, there's not been any sort of equivalent.
I mean, the prices still reach that level eventually.
Yeah, but there's not been an equivalent policy. Right.
So that's my numero uno game of the year.
What's your number one?
My game of the year.
Is everyone ready for mine?
No, back to Aaron.
Mine's going to come as a bit of a shock to everyone, I think.
Okay.
Everybody's Golf.
Everybody's Golf.
Yep.
Everybody's Golf.
Yep.
Is this game different to Everybody's Golf? Whichever one.
That wasn't a requirement. Was it?
At
no time during our conversations did we say this has to be a totally unique concept. I mean, what, you know, Hitman's not different to any other Hitman.
You just like manoeuvring the camera to look at the anime girls' skirts, don't you?
It's a really fun game of golf. And a very well-made video game.
They do tend to be. The Everybody Loves Golf games are well, good arcadey golf games.
Yeah, like it's a really solid game, and it's been the only game this year that has made me turn on my PlayStation in and of itself to play it.
No, Ghost Recon.
Nope, would have played that on anything.
Oh, you mean as an exclusive?
Yeah, as in, like, Ghost Recon, I wasn't fussed that it was on the PlayStation.
That's only because you don't own Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, but and also, Ghost Recon never actually, in and of itself, made me turn it on. Like, it was only when we were playing together that I turned it on.
Well, that's because it's a cooperative game.
But it's not, it's also got, you know, it is also solo.
You can play solo, but it's not designed to be played solo necessarily.
But I didn't fall for that as much as I did some other Division.
So come on, everybody's Golf.
Yeah, Everybody's Golf, it does what it says on the can. It is golf for everybody. It's a 3-click system, so anyone can play it. Like my daughter can
I mean, the Xbox owner can't play it.
Well, I'm an Xbox owner and I play it.
Everybody who owns a PS4 is Golf.
Yeah. basically. And the art style's lovely, the sound's lovely, it's accessible, the online's fun, it doesn't take itself particularly seriously. I'm impressed with it. I don't know. There isn't tons to say about it, because as you say, like, it is quite an established franchise and people are going to know what everybody's golf is. But it was a delightful little golfing romp, and I enjoy golf games.
I mean, does it introduce anything new? What is it? Is there any,
golf,
like...
Golf carts and fishing.
What and fishing? Golf carts and fishing?
Yep.
You can buggy race.
And I think there's something else as well, but I haven't had
I mean, you can go fishing in Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, but you can't play golf in Final Fantasy 15.
No, but you can play golf in GTA 5.
You certainly can't play everybody's golf in Final Fantasy 15.
Can you go fishing in GTA?
No, I don't think so.
I know it's not a big AAA game, but it's my game.
Good.
And it's the one that I choose. And I don't have tons to say about it, and that's not because it was a bad game or anything like that. It's just that it's not a game that lends itself to talking about. It's one that lends itself to playing. And frankly, for the 19 quid or whatever it was on launch, I've probably got more joy out of that than I have done a lot of other AAA games that counts you.
So what about the other games in the Everybody's franchise? Would you pick them up if they was Everybody's Tennis?
I didn't love the Vita one that much.
What about Everybody's Tennis if they redid that? Yeah, it's Everybody's Tennis.
Really?
Yeah, there's a version on PS4.
Of Everybody's Tennis.
Yep.
Is it as good as Everybody's Golf?
I don't know. I didn't know if you were interested in pursuing your interest in the Everybody's franchise.
I'd give it a go. If it's the same sort of concept, i.e. highly accessible, extremely fun and jovial version of a sport that takes itself probably far too seriously, then yeah, sure.
It was the sixth game in the Everybody's Golf franchise.
Sixth game in the
Yep, Everybody's Golf 1, Everybody's Golf 2, Everybody's Golf 3, Everybody's Golf 4, Everybody's Golf Portable, Everybody's Tennis. Everybody's Golf 5, Everybody's Golf Portable 2, Everybody's Stress Buster, Everybody's Tennis Portable, Everybody's Golf 6, Everybody's Golf.
Yeah.
Everybody's Golf 6 is the Vita one.
I don't know what you want me to say. I liked Everybody's Golf. A good game, and yeah, sure.
I'm glad I've enjoyed Everybody's Golf in the first.
Have you got the recent one? Have you got this one?
No. I burned out on golf games for a bit, I think.
Okay.
Because I played the Vita one quite a lot, and then I played Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, that wasn't that great, was it?
It's all right, but I'm looking at the Golf Club 2, and I keep seeing that quite cheap. And the Golf Club 1 was supposed to be quite good, so I don't know.
Golf Club 1 was meant to be a good idea, poorly executed. What about Golf Club 2? Is that a thing?
Yeah. It came out, might have been a release this year.
Okay. I need to try that. But that's Everybody's Golf. There is another game that I've got on my list that I'm going to... We'll do it like a little zigzag, so I'll carry on since I've put out my not a lot to talk about. Next one, loads to talk about.
Wait, you're ruining the order. What are you doing?
Why? No, I'm not. I've decided to zigzag the order.
Zigzag the order.
We're going to go like Aaron, you, me, you, Aaron.
Go on, what are you going to talk about? Mario's Odyssey.
Mario Odyssey.
With what? Cappy.
What a game. It's just endlessly brilliant. Like, all the worlds are completely different to each other.
What's the best thing you can turn into?
Best thing that I've turned into... My favourite thing that I've turned into, which is not necessarily the best thing that you can turn into, but my favourite thing is just simply turning into the Goomba. And stacking up.
You can stack
up.
Them, can't you? Yeah.
Yeah, you can stack up as a load of Goombas. And in a lot of the levels, you've got to go and find love as a Goomba. So there is a female Goomba somewhere looking for... Goomba love. And Mario's the one to provide it. Yeah. That's my favourite thing to turn into. It's just an endlessly inventive game. And so a lot of people got really excited by Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle
right.
2K16.
So here's the comparison. Okay, so it's the same character, arguably.
Mario.
Yeah, exactly. Same franchise.
Do we need? Okay, yes. I wasn't sure if it was Mario or not before.
No, it is. It is indeed Mario.
Is he red cap and everything with a little lem on it?
Yeah. How did you guess?
Does he have a little lem on his cap?
Yeah, he does.
He actually. Does, yeah.
I thought he had the eyes on his cap.
No, he's got a little lem.
No, Cappy has the eyes.
Yeah, but Cappy's the cap.
Yeah, but only in Odyssey.
That's what I mean.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't examined the cap that closely, I've got to be honest with you.
I mean, that is the main focal point of the game.
Is the cap. So the cap is and it isn't. So one of the things in the game that I don't quite understand is it's got all these costumes that you can change into, which are fun and good, but they don't really ever seem to affect gameplay because the moveset's still the same regardless of what cap you're wearing.
Can you change into Luigi?
Not that I've found yet, but haven't finished the main quest. So I haven't caught up with Bowser yet. I the next kingdom that I just unlocked about 45 minutes ago was the Bowser Kingdom, so that will be tonight's mission. I mean, put it this way, this game is so good that it's costing me sleep. I'm regularly going to sleep at about 1 in the morning because I've just one more thing. I'm just going to do one more Power Star, whatever they're called, moon, they're moons. I'm just going to do one more moon, say to myself, and you know, 5 or 6 moons later, I should probably go to bed. All right, one more.
I did enjoy the other Mario. My only concern with this is I don't own a Switch.
So this is worth owning a Switch for. This is Switch owning worthiness.
But this is worth me buying a Switch when they're 100 quid next year rather than 300 quid this year.
No, you can pick them up at the moment for 230. Well, game, or you can pick them up for 270 with Zelda and Rabbids Kingdom Battles, which...
Well, that's a decent pair. For how much?
Yeah, 270.
Ooh.
And a lot of people rate Kingdom's Battle as you know, one of their essential games on the Switch. It is.
And the thing for me for a while has been essential. A Switch or a PSVR.
Oh, that's a hard choice.
That is a hard choice.
I really enjoy the PSVR. I've done a lot of VR this week, just in general. It's not one of my games, but it does get a shout-out, which is Spark, which is... I've been trying to convince Aaron to get it. Basically, it's virtual racquetball. And I've been playing a lot of virtual racquetball this week, and it's one of those experiences that you can't get on flat play.
Now, the PSVR, I think, has sold enough units...
It's over 2 million.
That it can,
now.
Yes. In fact, then I think that was pre Black Friday, so it might be more than that now.
Well, they've made, isn't it 700 million they've made
from the PSVR?
From hardware sales.
Now the issue is it needs the software. It's the same with the Switch. It needs some software.
There's quite a bit out there.
There's tons on the PSVR.
That they are supporting it reasonably well.
I would say the PSVR and the Oculus seem to get the same games, and Vive gets its own little selection. Does that sound fair?
I don't know. There's some games that are on PSVR only. There's some games that are on each platform only. But yes. Yeah there is...
There's a lot of crossover between PSVR and Oculus. Whereas
so I think
on Steam there's not as much of a crossover. There is.
So for my Switch PSVR dilemma, I think it's going to come down to which hits that a good price point first.
I guess good price point depends on what you're willing to pay.
Yeah, it depends on a number of personal factors. I will say if it hits the budget, you know, you think of a console's lifespan. At some point in the console's lifespan, it's going to cost roughly half the launch cost, and the PS4 is just about reaching that.
For PSVR?
No, PS4 is. Oh, okay. PS4 is about half. PSVR is still over half.
I say, because Oculus is now down to something ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
300, 400 with the controllers, or 300 with the controllers?
With controllers and some free games for about 340.
Yeah.
Which is arguably where it should have been in the first place to compete with PSVR.
Yeah, but it was competing with Vive to start with.
I think they misjudged that. I don't think Vive was ever the competition. I think if they'd done it at 340, they would have undercut Vive. Been irrelevant.
Yeah, but
I don't think they thought the PSVR was going to be powerful enough.
Correct. I think they misjudged how much people would tolerate.
They thought the PSVR would be gimmicky.
It's a bit. I was trying to do Supart with the PSVR.
Okay.
And I was having all sorts of issues. Because it doesn't have accelerometers in them. So throwing things is tricky because it's interpolated.
So right.
If you move your wand too quickly, it isn't quick enough to determine that movement.
Right.
So you've got to do a nice smooth movement, then hit the button. It's weird.
Okay.
I didn't like it. It didn't feel as natural as on the Oculus. Graphics-wise, it's fine, because it's super hot. You know, you've got very...
Polygonal,
just, you know, almost monochrome. You've got, you know, black, white, and red.
Yep.
That's it. You know, it's not a complicated graphics-wise, but, yeah, those ones, they need to release some PS4 ones that are better than those... horrible, horrible monstrosities.
I agree. That's what's holding it back. It's not the resolution.
People...
Because you can ignore the resolution.
Yeah, games. I still play old games that... You know, Persona 4 came out on the PS2.
Yeah.
Okay, they've up-raised it a bit for the Vita version, but it's still a pretty good game, even then. So, you know, resolution isn't everything. Okay, it's nice to have a really pretty game, but if the gameplay is there, who cares?
That brings us nicely back to Super Mario Odyssey.
Where the gameplay is overflowing with wondrous joy.
Well, I've heard the Switch doesn't do 1080p, does it?
It does 1080p.
I heard that it does 720.
I think docked it's 1080 and undocked it's 900.
Depends what game you're playing.
On Odyssey, that is exactly what it is.
Okay. Well, no, why would it do 900? Because I thought the display was only 720 on undocked.
No, I don't think the display is 720.
Okay.
In any event, it looks gorgeous on the handheld, and it looks lovely on the TV. I'm not sat there with a ruler counting pixels. I'm playing the game.
Yeah.
And it just looks absolutely beautiful. Yeah, Odyssey is one of those games. It is a system seller. I mean, I know that I had already pre-declared that it was going to be the reason I bought a Switch, and very shortly afterwards I acquired a Switch. But I'm completely vindicated in my decision. This is, you know, if I had to put them in order, this is game of the year for me. This is exactly where it's at. Just beautiful. Everything about it, from every single aspect of games design. It's like a masterclass. Every single aspect of this is perfect. There is an endless amount of stuff to do, but you don't feel compelled to do it. You just end up doing it because it's simply fun moving around the world.
I reserve judgment until I know Luigi's in the game.
Well, okay, fine. That is your prerogative. I don't know. Luigi's in the introduction cutscene.
Okay, he's in the game.
So, if that convinces you,
that counts. Game of the year.
It even throws some little diversions at you in terms of I say plot loosely. But it doesn't follow the traditional Mario game script, as it were. We're trying to prevent Peach's wedding to Bowser, which is almost a thing. But along the way, there is all sorts of jinx and hijapes and jinx, whatever the phrase is.
I mean, is there a bit more of a story?
Moderately. Look, it's a Mario game. It doesn't need story.
You say it doesn't follow that story. Neither Galaxy nor Sunshine followed that story.
Bowser had kidnapped Peach in Galaxy.
Okay, Sunshine, he hadn't. Had he?
Sunshine hadn't. It was an exceptional game, Sunshine. In terms of that, yeah, I agree with you.
Truly exceptional.
I love Sunshine. This you're like in Sunshine, it was a lot of fun to move around, and I loved it, and this is the same. I struggled more with Galaxy, where it was much more confined, tight levels. This is much more fun than Galaxy for me.
Cool.
So that's Odyssey. I guess we go back to you, Si.
What is it? Back to me. Aaron here is
Aaron's about to do two.
She's zigzagging or some nonsense.
It's got Aaron, Si, me, Si, no, Aaron, Aaron,
no,
Si, me.
No, Si started.
Well, you started, Aaron.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to get your memory brain training, Aaron. That's your game. That's your most anticipated of 2018 now. My number two, numero dos, is Jackbox Party Pack 4.
The Jackbox Party
Pack? Is this cheating? Is this five games?
No, it's one game. It's one game. What's different with Jackbox Party Pack 4 compared to all the other Jackbox Party Packs?
Well, instead of Fibbage Normal, it has Fibbage 2.
What's different with Fibbage 2?
There are some minor
amaze my face.
I can't actually remember what it adds, but it's more Fibbage. But actually, some of the other games are very good. I don't think I've played Fibbage much in Jackbox Party Pack 4. But I've been to a couple of parties this year, and Jackbox has been cranked out. It's always a party favourite.
Jackbox to the max.
And there's a good one where you write things down, and then people make up lies about you based on what they think. Now, why can I not find the list of the games that are in here so I can remember what they are actually called? Five and a half games in here. Oh, so there's Monster Seeking Monster, which you play. It's like a dating game. And you have to convince... Yes, and everyone gets given a monster, but you don't know who anyone else's monster is. And you message each other secretly, like text messaging, convincing the other person to date you. And you're completely free to say what you like. Now, of course, all the monsters have secret abilities. So depending on what their secret ability is, it will change, what happens if you actually both successfully go on a date. So you have to match at the end of a night, at the end of a day, sorry, you say which other person you want to date. And if they want to date you and you want to date them, then...
It's like Tinder for monsters.
Yes, it is very much so. But of course, all the monsters have secret monster abilities. So that was very fun. Survive the internet, you make things up and then people come in and twist your words and make it seem like you are doing something else, much like the internet. And that one is very fun. These are all very fun with friends. Bracketeering. You get a question. You have to say, what's the most inappropriate thing to find in the kitchen or something. And then it would say, write down the word one kitchen utensil. And then, it'll be what's the most inappropriate thing to use in the bedroom. It will be the question that comes up. But you don't know the question until after you've put in the kitchen utensil.
Oh, okay. Fine. I like that. Yep.
Yeah. So it'll be something where the answers will sort of make sense, but that'll be funny. So if you said a spoon, and then, that'd be very funny in the bedroom. But, someone might have said something completely ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know, or a Hoover or something. I don't know. You use a Hoover in the bedroom. And then you vote, and it goes down like a little World Cup bracket of which ones are the best. And every, quarterfinals, semifinals, it will change the questions. It'll change the questions so that you get different face-offs against each other. So that one is also very fun. And then Fibbage. Fibbage is Fibbage. You have to lie and fib. and convince other people. If you've ever played Baldur's Dash, it's very similar to Baldur's Dash.
Okay.
Or if you've ever played Fibbage in the other versions, it's very similar to Fibbage in the other versions.
I've played Fibbage in the other versions.
So,
quite good.
Jackbox Party Pack 4, just from the sheer fun I had with it this year, is in my top games. Although, I will admit, half the time I was having fun, I was actually with Jackbox Party Pack 3. But, Quicklash.
We'll allow it. We'll turn a blind eye.
There is some good. The T-shirt one, TKO, in Party Pack 3. And what is the other one? Is it Quicklash or is it... let me find the name of the one in Party Pack 3. Yeah, Quicklash 2 is also very funny.
Excellent. Aaron?
And Trivia Murder Party is also very good as well.
Done?
I am done.
Aaron?
My next one is Elite Dangerous.
Elite Dangerous, what a surprise. Aaron, yeah. What is Elite Dangerous and why did you love it so much?
Wait. How we come because, on, we said... he has made a time machine now, hasn't he?
Because it came out on PS4 this year.
Yeah, he's found some loot.
He's allowed it. He's absolutely allowed it.
I did say if the VR version was released this year...
It came out on VR to start with.
Man, does that mean one of us could name Minecraft as our game of the year?
Probably, yeah. Because it came out on 3DS this year.
Yes.
And it got re-released this year, didn't it, as the Windows 10 app version.
And the VR version. Was that this year or last year?
No, that was last year.
The VR version
was this year, yeah.
Switch was this year, DS was this year,
and
Windows 10 was 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah, but they added VR this year.
Oh.
I believe. So it came out on PS4. I've played some over Christmas.
The PS4 version?
The PS4 version.
Okay, you're only allowed to talk about the PS4 version.
Okay.
This is the game.
It's the same, apart from it doesn't have VR.
No PSVR?
No PSVR. They are.
I thought there was a PSVR version of Elite Dangerous. No. I thought that was the reason for them bringing it.
No.
To PS4.
You would have thought so, but they made a really strange decision.
Oh, it's Eve Valkyrie that's the PSVR thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and Eve Valkyrie's crossplay as well.
Yeah, it is. Elite Dangerous.
And it's flat play screen play as well. Sorry.
It is now. Elite Dangerous is the same game, but you play on PS4. The controls aren't bad. Because I haven't got a stick for the PS4. Because you have to have one specific stick that works. So there's only one joystick, HOTAS, that works with the PS4. There's one that works with the Xbox. Because that was released last year, I believe. Or 2016, I believe, the Xbox One version. PS4 version was released this year, 2017. So I was having really good fun with it. The problem I have is that you can't cross play. So your character on the PC version doesn't copy over to the PS4 version.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
You
should have at least been given the option of a one-time transfer.
The problem they had with that is that it would unbalance you in the PS4 world. Because there is PvP.
Okay.
So if I'm coming in with an Anaconda, which is one of the biggest ships in the universe, and then everybody else is in little sidewinders, their starter ships, I could just troll the starter areas and just keep blowing them up. People that are in open.
Right.
But that happens anyway, to some extent. There's a lot of that happening where experienced people that played on PC lots knew the quick way of getting lots of cash. So they basically made lots of cash in the first few hours and then went back and attacked all the new PS4 players that were learning how to dock and take off and do the basics. And there's all your old PC players or Xbox players that were just already knew all the controls, already knew all about all the different outfittings and settings and all that lot, and just started trolling them. But luckily, you could just pop into single player mode and do it that way if you wanted. But yeah, I was enjoying it over Christmas. They had some sales on new skins and stuff. I haven't bought anything for the PS4 version because I don't play it enough. So
how often do you play compared to, comparing the two? How often do you play?
I barely play the PS4 version, I have to say, because it's not VR. And if I've got a choice of flying in VR, with
it does make quite a big difference, doesn't it?
It does. You can just look around, and you can look at your ship, and you can look at the controls, and it's just you feel like you're in the ship rather than playing a game. You more feel like you're in the ship. So that was quite good. So I was playing a lot of that over Christmas. That's my go-to game still. It's quite good. They've just released a new ship over Christmas, so I've got to earn enough money.
Please tell me it's a Santa sleigh.
No, it's a new alien killing ship. So because the aliens are attacking space stations now.
They are, aren't they?
I need to go and go and have a look at that, because at least I want to go and have a look at the damaged stations and have a look at all the new art assets that they've put in the game. Because that's content we're getting at the moment until end of March. So that's my second game of the year.
And what's, because of my weird ordering, what's your third game?
No, it's most disappointing. Come on, gotta save the attention. We can't end on a bum note with the disappointing ones.
No, because we're gonna do 2018. What we're looking forward to.
Oh yeah, but you need to save a good one before you do a bum one.
No bumming.
Well, you can if you like. We don't have to stop that kind of thing.
So, come on then. What are we going?
The notes.
Disappointing. I'm vetoing Dave's order. We need some negativity up in here.
That's why you're talking about the Vita.
The Vita is your disappointment a Vita game? There weren't any games released this year. Who were we kidding?
Oh, there were.
Were there?
Yes, there were.
There weren't any non-JRPG games released this year. Who
probably not JRPG. Yeah, it's probably just... I can't remember what was released on Vita this year.
They don't even do a FIFA port anymore. That should tell you everything.
Yeah. I think there's a Vita game coming out next year.
Yeah, there was one, wasn't there? There was something strange.
Yeah, something's coming out next year.
I think it's on PS4 as well, though. I think it's one of those...
Oh, yeah, PS4 Vita, yeah.
It's going to be on a few things.
So my disappointment was Mass Effect.
Andromeda.
Yes, Andromeda. I just didn't like the characters. Obviously, it was a bit buggy when it first came out, and there was some... It was a bit slow starting. But yeah, I don't know. I quite like some of the characters in the first... Well, in the second two of the first trilogy. Because I didn't play much of the first game. But when 3 was coming out, I went back and played 2. So I could play 3. So I really got into all the characters and stuff, and I quite like the characters. But I don't know that I care about these characters enough. I don't know. It's a bit weird. It doesn't drag me in.
It just feels slightly detached.
Just feels a bit flat. I don't know why I should save them. I want to go back to it and play it again because I think they've finished patching it now.
Yeah, well, they're done, aren't they? They've closed the studio that developed, or they've stopped developing Mass Effect games. They closed BioWare Austin. Something like that happened, didn't it?
I believe so.
One of those sorts of options. I've given you loads. It's got to be one of them.
Yeah, I'm sure it's one of them.
They've done something not very nice with the studio. I can't remember if it's they've shut the whole studio or if they've just stopped Mass Effect or both.
I know they pared it down a lot. They got rid of a lot of the staff. I didn't know whether they completely shut it. Maybe they did. But yeah, yeah. So we shall see. But yes, yeah, so I'll play a bit more, but I don't know that I'll like it enough to finish that game.
How many hours is it? Is it as big as the others?
I think it's quite big. I think you have to put 40 to 60 hours in or something.
That's what it's quite big.
It's a reasonable size game. I don't know how much I've put in so far. Don't think about it on Steam. I've got it on Uplay or something. No, it'd be Origin, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Definitely be Origin.
Yeah, no, I've got Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2 on Steam, but the rest are on Origin. So I don't know how long I've played them for.
Excellent. That's your disappointment. And what's been your final loveliness that you liked?
You changed all the order again. Yeah. So the final one, Hellblade. I really like that one.
What's Hellblade?
Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. That was the one, the mental health thing, Norse mythology. I quite enjoyed that.
Oh yeah, I remember you saying about that.
Yeah. I'm a little annoyed with myself that I haven't finished it yet. It is only a short game. I think it's only about 4 or 5 hours anyway. So I must finish that. But yeah, I was really enjoying that. Really nice put together. Like all the mythology. Looks really amazing as well. The graphics are great. And now I've got a 4K monitor. It should look great. But yeah, I'll have another go at that and finish that. But yeah, I really did enjoy that. Because I do like all the Norse mythology and things like that anyway. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and...
How long is it? A long game or...?
No, but I think it's only about 4 or 5 hours.
Did you play Heavenly Sword?
No.
Is it? It's not a sequel, is it?
No, it's a separate game. It's just a standalone game.
I thought it was like a quasi-sequel, isn't it? It's like a spiritual successor.
I don't know. I don't...
Aaron's not sure about this one, sir.
No, I don't know. I don't know about...
I think it's the same. It's what's the studio's name? Ninja Theory?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, they did... I believe they did... Heavenly Sword. Because it's in the name, isn't it? Heavenly Sword, Hellblade.
I don't know. I don't know much about Heavenly Sword. So, yeah.
Oh. I mean, Scythe Theory makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Well, next, it's going to be Purgatory Axe. But it's about depression and things. Is it depression or mental illnesses?
Yeah. She has some sort of mental illness. Effectively,
the character does.
Yeah, the character. Yeah, your character. So, yeah, she's... Basically, the Norse Vikings have invaded Picts, the Celtic Picts. And she's gone off to the Norse hell to retrieve her loved one.
Ah.
So that's the whole idea. But there's constantly people whispering at you all the time while you're playing the game.
Is it in your head?
Yes. Yeah, the voice is in your head.
You should see a doctor about that, Aaron. A witch doctor.
It's a Hellblade. What's the combat like, Aaron?
It's okay.
Right.
Is it very Devil May Cry like? I always see it and it looks very Devil May Cry-ish.
I didn't play much Devil May Cry.
Or Bayonetta or...
I don't know. Bayonetta's a bit more button mashy.
It's not button mashy then?
No, not really.
Or is it more Dark Souls-y?
I don't know. I didn't play Dark Souls. It's a bit timed. You have to time your attacks and stuff.
All right.
Yeah, and if you get defeated, you the darkness creeps in, apparently.
Ooh, okay, interesting.
And the warning is that if the darkness reaches your heart, they will delete your save, and you will not carry on.
Oh, does that actually happen?
I don't know. I believe the rumor is it does. It never reaches your heart, no matter how badly you play it.
Ooh. Well, that is, but I'd quite like that if that was like a risk, but you know, it wouldn't actually do it. It would be quite nice.
Yeah, I don't think it actually does it. It's, I believe, it never actually reaches your heart, no matter how much you mess up.
I don't know if I like that or I don't like that.
The fact that it doesn't do it, or the fact that it exists.
Yeah, the fact
Well, no, but if you believe that it will, even if it doesn't, the fact that it doesn't do it is irrelevant.
Right. The psychology of it.
Yeah. As long as you don't know that it doesn't do it. It's a bit like when Psycho Mantis in Metal Gear Solid. Solid.
Yep.
When he's reading your saves and saying he's deleting your file. Or in 2 it happens, doesn't it? It's like, now deleting file or power. You know, that caught me out in Metal Gear Solid 2. It's just like, now power off your system. And I did. I loaded it back up again. Oh, fuck.
Great little boss.
That wasn't Psycho Mantis. That was something. That was the game corrupting. But pretending to corrupt.
Yeah, correct. It was Campbell, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Very weird, all the weird Metal Gear Solid stuff.
Yeah, it got really strange, Metal Gear Solid 2.
It got strange, yeah, well, yeah.
Because Metal Gear Solid 1 was sort of sensible.
Yeah. Yeah, it does get very...
It's too odd about Metal Gear Solid 1, and then Metal Gear Solid 2 suddenly got...
Well, it too starts out sensible as well, that's the worst thing about
it. Yes,
it does. You know, you can have the crazy bosses in it, that's fine, but...
No, 2 starts off completely sensible.
And then there's like a 3-hour cutscene at the end with a boss battle in the middle.
Yeah. Two is eminently sensible. There is nothing... One is eminently sensible. There is nothing sort of weird about it. It's a bit waffly in places, but...
I mean, the Liquid Snake stuff and that's all a bit weird.
Yeah, but not like outside of video game logic. And then this one happens and it's just like, what?
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine if Metal Gear Solid didn't have all that stuff in it? It might be quite... I don't know. Do you think it would be well received?
I don't know. I still want to play the last one, 5.
Yeah. That was free on PS Plus.
Yeah, I've got it.
I need to get... But the thing is, I've got 3 and I've got 4 and I just need to get through them.
Well, 4 is meant to be a long, long, long slog.
Yeah, it is. It's big old... Big cutscenes in it.
It's all cutscenes, yeah. It's not like 3 is... I've played 3. 3 was good fun. Snake Eater. Go with that.
I need to do the beta one of that.
But yeah, that's what I played on. 4 is a lot of effort.
Aaron.
Yes.
Aaron's done it.
As I'm commandeering Dave's format, what's your honourable mentions? Do you have any honourable mentions that you just wanted to quickly chuck in?
Bridge Crew.
You never get it working.
Well, yeah. Well, we did get it working. It just didn't stay working for long. That's the problem. If it wasn't for the unreliable networking, then...
If it wasn't for the networking, it would have been great.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it seemed that every time they got people together to try and practice this game, they got them all in the same room.
It's convenient, that.
Yeah. That seemed to work perfectly fine when they're all sat in the same room.
It was almost like they tried to demo it under the perfect circumstances.
Yes, yeah, so... Maybe we should go back at some point and try again. But,
Presumably they're going to fix it.
Maybe they have fixed it. I don't know, yeah. We'll see.
It really was quite shonky.
Yeah, the idea, though, and the concept was fine. I don't think it was great, but it was fine. There is a new game that's supposed to be a bit similar. Is it Under the Same Sun or something like that? But
that's on sale at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and well, Bridge Crew is on sale, I believe, at the moment. I could be wrong. But what that also is you do first-person combat as well.
Okay, yes.
So it's not only your first-person manning the ship, you're also boarding other ships and going
yes.
and doing away missions and things. So I was tempted to get that, but I shall see. Whether I do or not. But yeah, that was a good game this year. I played that. I don't know what else came out this year that I've been playing lots of. I've been playing lots of old games, that's the thing. Not so many from this year. I did play some Destiny.
Any VR ones? You were on about Tacoma earlier.
Yeah, I want to play some more Tacoma, but that's not VR. But yeah, I'll definitely want to play that. Because I enjoyed Gone Home so much. And it's the same guys. And
I thought there was a VR version of it.
I don't believe there's a VR version of Tacoma.
Oh, okay.
Maybe there is now. I don't know. There wasn't when I last looked at it. Maybe they've patched VR in. Because that would be amazing in VR. Floating around a spaceship, looking at stories and things. That would make sense to have a VR version. But they're a fairly small studio, and I don't think they've done VR before.
I'm interested in Scanner Somber.
No, it's not VR. Scanner Somber is someone else. Scanner Somber is Prison Architect.
Yeah. But there's also a small studio.
Yeah. Small studios can do it. It's just whether this team has
chosen to do it
and whether they're interested in doing it. Because they've not done it in the past, so maybe they just don't care about VR. Or maybe they see it as a fad, which quite a few people still do. We shall see how that goes on.
Sigh.
I'll start with my disappointments, haven't I?
Yep.
It is Battlefront 2/ Shadow of War.
Loot crates.
I don't actually own either of these games for good reason. I really enjoyed Shadow of Mordor, and I really wanted to play the second one. And it's full of loot crate shit. And Battlefront 2, I really enjoyed the first one, and I really wanted to. I played quite a bit of the trial of the second, the beta of the second one, and it was it had fantastic gameplay. Really wanted me to play more. Sorry, I really wanted to play more after playing the beta. And what is this, you know, crate shit where people have advantages based on how much money they've spent on the game? And also, it's made me realise what I think about FIFA as well. You know, FIFA has this ultimate team mode. I've decided, you know, it's just every year I put hundreds of hours into it, and people would just come up with Ronaldo and Messi. You know, they've just chucked lots of money into the game. They're just chucking money at the game. It's bad, and it's got to stop.
So says Sai.
Yep. Make the games more expensive. I don't care.
Yeah, I would not mind paying an extra tenner on the games if they got rid of all this rubbish that they
if there was a promise, you know, pay an extra tenner, this will never be in the or keep the game will stay full price forever, but this will never be in the game.
Yeah.
Sure thing. And you know, season passes and stuff, I was already a bit, you know, I think I just come around to the idea of them.
Yeah, I think everyone accepted the fact that they've got to pay an extra £20 to get all the content because
I don't like the idea sometimes that perhaps they're holding back content to then stick in the season pass.
Yeah, no, agreed. It should be,
and sometimes it does feel a bit like that.
It should be sort of content for well after release type thing.
Mm. But you know, something like The Witcher's season pass is good. Some of the other season passes I've seen have been a bit lackluster, let's say. So yeah, that's my disappointment, and it's not that a game that disappointed me, it's a system that disappointed me. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's that's EA, that's Warner Brothers, but it's not just in that, it's in... I enjoyed Overwatch this year, but it's in Overwatch to some extent. At least it's cosmetic.
Overwatch you can entirely ignore.
It's cosmetic, so it's okay. To an extent, it's okay to an extent. I feel like when you're paying full price for a game, you know, all these costumes and stuff, it used to be they would be unlockables, you know, do well, unlock some.
Yeah,
which I guess you... And you are unlocking him to some extent, but you're unlocking him through the loot boxes. GTA 5, I think, is ridden with this stuff as well now, isn't it?
Yep, GTA 5 online. Yeah,
I've not touched that since.
That's why there's not really any single player content for GTA.
No, although there is a new heist coming, is there not?
A new heist.
Mm.
There's a new heist released at Christmas, I believe.
Yeah.
But again, that's for online play. They want people playing online. They don't want people playing their single player.
I think the most annoying thing about this is I had thought that 2 or 3 years ago, the developers had or publishers had realised this stuff isn't really. Yeah, I was going to say kosher, but I don't know if that's a PC term to use. Okay, I guess you can use kosher. It's not really kosher to do this kind of stuff. You know, EA has backpedaled on stuff in the past. For example, when they did their online passes, they backpedaled and all that.
Yep.
And they sort of cut out microtransaction stuff. And then it's gone through mobile, and then people tried to stick it in games. Dead Space 3, and then they sort of backtracked on doing that kind of thing. They said they wouldn't do it anymore. And then here we are, 2017, single-player games. It's cropping up. Multiplayer games, and you can buy yourself an advantage, and it's not a free-to-play game. It's cropping up. And
I've got less of a problem in a single-player game in terms of, you know, as long as they don't make it unreasonably difficult to do the rest of the game.
Well, that's the thing, though. Why does it need to exist in a single-player game? Why does it need to exist in any game? I get is the appeal of the loot system. The random loot drop, you know, Diablo does it. Destiny does it. In fact, Destiny 2 can be put on this list with these other two games. Destiny did it. You know, it's quite fun to have a random item, a loot drop, and you've got to go find out what it is. And, ooh, it's the one I wanted, or it's not the one I wanted. But to have it, then be able to, you know, circumvent that by chucking more money at the game and getting better stuff that affects gameplay is outrageous. And you don't know to what extent they've adjusted the grind. So the thing with Battlefront 2 is it was ridiculous. If you wanted to play one of the heroes, it was a ridiculous number of hours you had to play. Shadow of War, you know, why do I need to buy orcs? How do I know they haven't adjusted the game to make it more of a grind? And people have said it is a grind. They said it, you can do it, but it is more of a grind. And that's not what I haven't got so many hours that I want to grind games.
Yeah, I get that. I get your disappointment.
That is my moan. Do you want to hear my...
Oh, go on, sorry. What's your loveliness? Because we are getting tighter for time for the show.
I know. And I'm going to sound a bit hypocritical here because it has loot boxes in it. it is PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds.
Really?
Because I had a lot of fun with it this year.
Well, I think that's the thing. If you get mileage from a game, then you almost forgive all things.
Loot boxes are entirely cosmetic in the sense that, yeah, they are cosmetic. Do they affect gameplay? You know, if you get camo... Well, the basic outfit that you get is probably the most camouflaged you can have, so not necessarily, you know, if you're wearing a big yellow suit, probably they affect gameplay in a negative way. You're going to be worse if you wear some of this stuff. If you're wearing a big yellow puffer jacket, yeah,
like the chicken suit in Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, if you wear that, people can see you from a mile off. So I had a lot of fun in this game, both solo. I've won some games, squads. I've won some games. I've come second and third on so many occasions. And they've just released the new... Well, they've gone to 1.0. They've released the new map. They've done a lot of quality of life upgrades in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Well, with 1.0, you know, vaulting's in there, you know, simple stuff. It's a full game now, even though there's only two maps still. It's there. It's run smoothly. It doesn't really have bugs in it anymore, in the PC version. Although I heard that the Xbox version, they improved on it very quickly after release. So hats off to them for that. I'd like to see what's coming next in terms of more maps and things in the game. I've played a couple of games on the new map. My first game on the new map, I came second, which was solo, which I was very happy with. And then I only forgot I didn't have grenades, which caused me to lose the game. I used all my grenades up and then tried to throw a grenade and then realized I didn't have any. And the guy just shot me. So, yeah, that is my... between that and Hitman for my top game. Well, all three of them have brought me a different experience. One of them has brought me a personal solo experience. One of them has brought me a group party experience. And one of them has brought me a mixture of, you know, my own experience in a multiplayer environment or a squad, you know, a couple of friends in a multiplayer environment. Three different experiences. You know, some honourable mentions.
Go on.
One that we have been doing together. It might be on your honourable mentions list, Dave. It might be your final game. I don't think it is. Ghost Recon.
It's not my final game, but it is on my list of things that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, Ghost Recon Wildlands. I've had fun with him as many times. What did we do the other day? We went to do a mission.
It involves you landing helicopters on my head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you, I tell you we're going to jump in 3, 2, 1, and then I jump out the helicopter. The helicopter starts falling, and you're still in it, and then you can't get out without chucking yourself into the blades. Or when we hijacked the airplane the other day, and I decided, oh, I'm going to do a loop the loop because I've got enough space, and I didn't have enough space.
That sounds familiar. Last time we tried that.
Yeah, it sounds bizarrely familiar, doesn't it, Aaron?
Why did you guys designate me the pilot? I am the best pilot.
You're meant to be the best pilot.
I am meant to be the best pilot. I am a pro at piloting. And I only get better by attempting stupid shit. It is fun. Well, I hope you guys don't mind me attempting stupid shit.
We survive.
Yeah. Where's the fun? If you just go through a game, you know, a game like that, it sort of gives you the tools and lets you play with them. So unless you go out your way to mess around a little bit, it's going to be a very dry experience. You can go through every level being super stealthy, mark up every person, pick them off one by one, a la Hitman. But I actually think that would be quite a dry game if you did that.
Well, apparently if you do that in single player mode, your NPCs just take out all the targets.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
And there's nothing for you to do.
Yeah. So, you know, I think a mixture of, you know, aggression, trying things out, and actually the upgrades and things that you get on your weapons and on your character encourage that kind of stuff. That was one of my honorable mentions. Number two is a game I also don't own yet, but I'm going to buy it soon. Cuphead.
Okay.
I've been playing it co-op with a friend a little bit when I've visited him, and I've also played a couple of times at expos and stuff. I've enjoyed it whenever I've played it, so it's not it could if I had owned it if I owned it and played a lot more of it, it might have been my game of year, but it's an honourable mention. Blood Bowl 2 I played a lot of this year. It wasn't released this year, but the Legendary Edition was, with lots of extra stuff. Mixed feelings about it, you know, but I really like Blood Bowl, so that's in there. The game is good quality, but it's just a little bit slow sometimes. The final one, again, is another old game, but it was re-released this year. Kingdom Hearts 1.5, 2.5 Remix, 2.8 Remix. The reason this isn't in the top games is because I'm still on number one, and there's like 6 games on the disc.
Okay.
So, even though I'm 40 hours in, I'm not even like one quarter of the way through the first of the discs, because there's also 2.8 to go afterwards. And that's my honourable mentions. Dave, enlighten us. You have the final word, the final say on the best
final
and
say
the worst. The worst first and then the best.
The disappointments. There was two standout disappointments to me in gaming this year. One was Lego Worlds, which was just... It wasn't the game that I thought it was going to be.
It started out so well.
It should have been so much better, and it just wasn't, was it?
I need to go back to it properly, but maybe a lot of people are saying they're disappointed with it, so maybe I shouldn't bother.
It's got potential, but it just wasn't a lot of fun. And Lego games traditionally are a lot of fun. I've got to be fair to it, I haven't tried the latest patch where they put in more tutorial-like things. So maybe that will help with it.
I think one of the things with it as well is, if you say it's like Minecraft, one of the things about Minecraft isn't just like the fact you can knock out blocks and build blocks.
Yeah.
It's the fact that those blocks do different things.
Yes.
And the crafting does different things.
Yes.
That doesn't exist in this game necessarily.
No, not really.
You're just placing Lego, but you're not really placing Lego that does anything.
Yes,
you're placing scenery.
Great. It's It wasn't what people expected it to be, and I think it's just a case of managing expectations. And I don't think they did a very good job of that at all. The other disappointment for me personally was Halo Wars 2.
No, is that not good? I've seen it
cheaper
a couple of times and been tempted to pick it up. So
I think on the PC it'll be a lot of fun.
Okay.
I didn't love using a control pad.
Okay.
But maybe, I mean, you know, I only played the first couple of levels and I sort of ughed out of it because I just wasn't getting on with it. So maybe it's to give it more time, but it was still disappointing, and it was one of my games that I was really looking forward to for the year. And yeah, I barely put any time into it.
Because I was Battlefront 2 is not on your disappointments?
No, because that was shaping up for the way it was.
Well, they sort of changed it all a bit last minute.
Nah, it was always going to be... As tempted as I was to buy it, it was always going to be ruined.
You enjoyed Battlefront 1 a lot. I'm surprised you haven't...
One.
I'm surprised... It's not even though it's shaped up that way, I'm surprised that's not a disappointment for you.
Yeah, I think I'm just...
You'd come to terms with it earlier.
Yeah, I'd accepted that it wasn't going to be a game for me. So it didn't really go on my... radar where I kept checking the price and stuff like that. It didn't even get to that sort of stage. It didn't exist as far as I was concerned as a game that I was going to be getting this year.
Go on then, the bestest of the best.
I wouldn't say it's the bestest of the best, but it's the last game on my list, and that's because it was the most pleasant surprise of the year, which was Monster Hunter Stories.
Monster Hunter again.
This is not Monster Hunter World, or Monster Hunter as the main series goes.
No, we gave that a go, the beta of that, and I don't think we necessarily... Loved clicked.
It. No. I'm willing to try it, but it's on my worries for next year list. Anyway,
I think... Go on. Go ahead with the stories.
So, Monster Hunter Stories is sort of like a cross between a more traditional RPG and Pokemon. So, you go through the world, you've got to go and get monsters and things, and you play through the story, and as you get stronger, you can win better monsters, and there's a neat little story, it's fine, it's got an open world. It was just thoroughly... It was one of these games, you know, when you don't expect something to be fun, and it just sort of sucks you in.
I mean, Pokemon can do that very much.
Yeah, it's very similar to Pokemon, but the nice thing was it wasn't a Pokemon game. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was something entirely different that had the same effect.
Yes.
And I really, really enjoyed it. It was just fun from beginning to end, and I've actually gone back and I'm playing through it again.
You completed it and you're going for a second?
Yeah.
How long is the game, roughly, would you say?
It was long. I would say I probably put in somewhere around 30 hours, maybe more, 30, 40. But again, handheld gaming, you know, you can pick it up, play a little bit, put it away. It's got the same advantages as the Switch in that, you know, that respect. I think the reason that I'm playing so much of the Switch... is that it's handheld. And it just slots... good pun. It just slots neatly into my lifestyle.
Okay.
Pretty confident it's the same sort of thing with Monster Hunter Stories.
Great stuff. There you go. There's our top nine.
That is our top nine, but we've got something a bit more interesting now.
Eclectic mix.
Eclectic mix of looking ahead.
Our top nine is an eclectic mix.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've got something nearly on every... We've got a DS, we've got Switch, PS4, PC.
We do try and...
Did we have a VR game in there? Did you have a VR game, Aaron?
Only Bridge
VR games
Crew.
I've got Spark in my honourable mention. Yep. Sparks are my honourable mentions.
And,
really
obviously, mention. Elite Dangerous was there, but the PS4 version.
So the disappointment, the loser there, is really the Xbox, isn't it?
Well,
we didn't really have much exclusive content.
No, I mean some of those are cross.
I suppose Forza Horizon 3 is on my shout out list.
Fair enough, but that was last year, was it not?
Yes, it was.
Was it not? I thought it was a Motorsport year this year.
Yeah, Motorsport was this year.
Okay. So forgive me for that. What else is on my honourable mentions? Robo Recall is on my honourable mentions, which is a VR shooter.
Robo Recall was quite good.
Really good. They really, really nailed.
I haven't even heard of this game. What's this game?
Locomotion in VR. It's a shooter by Epic. It's a VR shooter.
Hmm.
They nailed how to do VR shooters without people feel sick.
It is a teleport game, to be honest.
You can you teleport in it, but even the teleporting worked really well. It's a very well-made game by a company that clearly knows how to make games.
Interesting. So you're most looking forward to...
Most looking forward to...
Sure. Let's do this as a list. Keep it basic.
Red Dead.
Right.
Yeah, that's Anthem. On my list.
That's on my worried list.
Anthem.
That's on my worried list.
It's on both. It's on both of mine.
See, I've not got that down.
Far Cry 5, Anthem, Red Dead, and Skull and Bones are all on my worried list for the same reason, and that is exactly what I've just been talking about with Battlefront 2 and Shadow of War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any one of those games could go down that route. The other issue with all of them is they could all feel very samey.
Yep, could do.
Yeah, that's the reason I didn't put Anthem down, is because it could be just another Destiny-type game.
I mean, at least that's the first one, that's the only one of those four which isn't a sequel or a iteration of something. You know, Skull and Bones is Assassin's Creed 4.2. Far Cry 5 and Red Dead 2 will very much be playing from the molds that created them.
So I'm looking forward to playing Sea of Thieves. That's my excited list. Because I think it's got potential.
Is it coming to Windows 10?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, maybe Windows 10, yeah.
Maybe I will play the Windows 10 version.
I played the alpha. Not that I can talk about it, but I'm pre-ordering it, and that's probably saying.
Is it going to be cross-buy, cross-buy.
I think it's cross-buy, cross-play.
Yeah, cross-buy, cross-play.
Play anywhere?
Cross-dress.
Play anywhere, is it?
Yeah, play anywhere.
Oh. Cross-save.
It's everything.
Everything.
Yep. Yeah, it's cross-everything. It's Microsoft. It's the new Microsoft.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, that's what I've been looking at with Cuphead and with Halo Wars 2.
It's a shame they haven't done that with Minecraft.
Yes. Well, they are doing cross-play, aren't they?
They are doing cross-play, but it's not cross-buy.
No, otherwise I would own a lot of copies of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But the...
Okay, go on then.
There was one other game that was a shame they've not done it with. And it was a game... Which game was it? There was a game that came out just before they announced the program. And off the top of my head, I can't remember what it is right now.
Quantum Break?
No, it was one of the early Xbox One games. Quantum Break I've got. That's in this month's Humble Monthly. Pick it up this week.
I've got most likely to underwhelm, while you're thinking. I've got Spider-Man.
To underwhelm? Yes, underwhelm. I've got Spider-Man. So well, Spider-Man was the one I separated from those other ones.
Monster Hunter.
Yeah, Monster Hunter.
Those are my two that I'm really looking forward to, but also really worried about.
Okay. Yeah. The ones I'm looking forward to is God of War.
Yeah, that's on my looking forward to list.
And Jurassic World Evolution. That's the new Frontier Games.
So is that going to be a theme park type?
Yeah, so think, because they already do Planet Coaster.
They did, but there already is a Jurassic World one, isn't there?
There's one on a phone.
No, I thought there was an Xbox one already as well.
I don't know.
Maybe it was 360.
But yeah, this is based, because there's, I believe, a new film coming out next year.
Yes, there is. This is a Jurassic World.
Jurassic World Evolution, and that's what this.
Oh, Jurassic World was the one that was before, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
I believe it's tying to the film. But yeah. So you can DNA dinosaurs and build your park,
make a predator,
that sort of stuff. So that looked quite cool. The bit I saw at the Frontier Expo. Obviously, I've got Red Dead there, and my possible big disappointment of the year will be Detroit Become Human.
Ooh, I think that will be
David
Cage fare, where it'll do well unless you don't like David Cage.
Well, I didn't get on too much with Heavy Rain, but I did like Beyond Two Souls.
But I expect it'll be quite polished.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be good enough. And not too cliche.
Yeah, it's very tricky in that sci-fi robot.
Yeah.
Asimov.
Yeah.
Laws of robotics world. But I think there's scope. I mean, I think there's space there for it to be done in a video game medium. I don't. Maybe Deus Ex is the closest you really get to it, but that's not quite the same. I don't know if Cyberpunk 2070. What is it? 2077? What's the one that's coming?
2077. Aaron? Yeah. But
I don't know if that will be similar or not.
I don't know. It's not out next year, I believe. That's what I was looking.
I don't know if my ones are out. So God of War is there. But I don't know if... So The Last of Us 2, I don't know if it's there. Is it next year or not? So if The Last of Us 2 isn't, it will be Days Gone. So those two I'm looking forward to. Hopefully Days Gone isn't a disappointment. Some of the earlier reports suggest that it might not be amazing. But then I think people are a bit like that with Horizon this year, and then it's come out to great reviews. God of War, and then Kingdom Hearts 3, if that comes out this year, as I've been working through the others. And with what Disney have acquired recently, there's quite some scope. Well, not really. I doubt they're going to have time to chuck in anything from their recent acquisitions. But, you know, Star Wars, Marvel, that's all potentially in there. And Wolf Among Us too. I've been working through. I like some of the Telltale stuff. That's my looking forward to next year. Ooh. Dave has run away. Has Dave run away? He did not want to say goodbye to 2017. He could not wait for 2018. So, yeah. Hopefully lots of good games to come. Hopefully, actually, no, I don't hope. Should I hope for lots of good games? Because that means I have to find time to play them all. Yes, my big pile of shame I have. You can set aside an evening for that, I think. My problem is I then go and pick up something like Football Manager or Civilization 6 or Hitman where there is no end. Well, you're Elite, there is no end. Star Citizen, there is no end. Yep. So for things to look forward to us talking about in 2018, particularly Aaron's Star Citizen adventures. The cat dating one, yeah. We interviewed that. We did interview them, didn't we? We have the audio. Is the audio up in the feed somewhere? But we need to sort the videos at some point, don't we? Perfect. Oh, I've been playing that. Yeah. I don't know how far through. I haven't got far enough through for it to go on my honourable mentions just yet. But perfect. So stay tuned with us for 2017. You can follow the show at The Loopcasters on Twitter. You know, that's the thing, isn't it? The first couple of years. I've had to write down 2018 a couple of times already. That's the first mess up I've done. At The Loopcasters on Twitter. We're on Facebook. The Loopcasters. Infinite Loopcast. There we are. We're on Facebook. Yeah. You are on Facebook. The Infinite Loopcast is on Facebook. Yeah, and you post to it too. Yeah. So the Infinite Loopcast is on Facebook. Come and like us on Facebook, and we'll be chucking our VR, our 360 interviews up on there. Come and send us an email to theloopcasters@hotmail.com. Is that right? I think that's right, isn't it? Am I going to get everything? I got 2017 wrong, so let's see if I can get everything else right. Where else are we? We're not. Oh, okay. We're not on Instagram. We're not on Periscope. We're not on Tinder, Grindr. Oh yes, we have a Discord channel. You can come and join and play games on our Discord channel. Because all that stuff is free nowadays, and we don't have to pay anything. But you can all chat away, play with us, play with other people, play with yourself. Perfect. Looking forward to lots of. Although January is a dry month, January is catch up month. Yeah, I'm off. I'm off to play something now. What am I going to play? Kingdom Hearts or Hitman or Football Manager, I think. Oh, get editing. Get these people into our heads what our favourite games are. What they should and shouldn't be playing of 2017. What they need to catch up in catch up January. If you want to let us know what your catch up Januaries are, do send us a message and we'll endeavour to read them out. Otherwise, it's a goodbye from me and a goodbye from Dave. Do you think I could do a good Dave impression? It was goodbye. Goodbye. I don't know. I don't know how he would say goodbye. Bye. And a goodbye from Aaron. Well, if he wants to say goodbye.